Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact this show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also contact the show at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Bitcoin. Our guest tonight is Mr. Leroy Taylor, a contemporary entrepreneur. So what is a Bitcoin? It appears to be a new form of currency which is digital and does not involve banks. In fact, It does not involve many things you, we are accustomed to. Why should we be interested in this Bitcoin? How can it benefit us? Is it really real? I want to introduce our guest for the night, Mr. Leroy Teller. Welcome to the show, Mr. Teller. Hello, Mr. Teller.
Hey, Mr. C. Thank you for introducing me. Good. Thank you for introducing me.
You're welcome. So you want to share with our audience the mystery of the Bitcoin?
Okay, Bitcoin started a while ago, back in 2007. It was like a funny idea people laughed at, but it grew to be actual currency people could use today. I'm going to break down how people use it today, what is Bitcoin, where you can use that, why is it good to have a Bitcoin account, and also the dangers of Bitcoin. So I'm going to go into that, as well as storing your how to store your Bitcoins that you do gain, how to convert it back into money, and everything that I've learned about Bitcoin so far. So a lot of people don't know about Bitcoin today. Like it's daily conversations that I have with people, and they have no idea what Bitcoin is. And I believe, along with many others, that it's going to be the currency that we use. And I'm going to get into why it's going to be the currency that we use because it makes sense. So Bitcoin is a whole new currency. Think of Bitcoin of like a pound or a euro or a yen. It's its own currency, and it has its own value. The reason why Bitcoin is so good today, like that's why it's the talk today, is because there's no middlemen. No central bankers control what you can do with your money. So since no central bankers can control what you can do with your money, you can do what you want with your money. So Bitcoin gives you option to either spend your money for merchants and goods, like if you want to go to the store and get like a pizza or something, you use your Bitcoin and you give them the Bitcoin directly. No ATM fees or anything like that as of now, right? So today when you go use your card, like even your bank, it requires you to have like some type of monthly service fee or get some deposit into your account. And if you ever go over or withdraw too much, you get a stiff penalty that accumulates over time. So the banks gain their money that way. The thing about Bitcoin, no transaction that you do can happen twice. So you would never go negative in Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is the ecosystem. I'm going to explain to you how you can never go negative in Bitcoin. All right. So like I explained to you guys before, it's no middleman. So people are free to do what they want with their money. And since there's no like regulation, like stiff regulations on Bitcoin now, it makes it a global economy. Like everyone is using the same money, you know, and with everyone using the same money comes concern because the government feel like they're going to lose control over, like, taxation and stuff like that. So that's where Bitcoin is today. Is to be keep it short, is virtual currency. So a lot of people ask me, like, how can I use Bitcoin? Where can I spend it at? You can actually, Mr. Steve, you can get a hotel with Bitcoin. Like, it's either right now, and if you go on their site, you can buy stuff with Bitcoin. If you want furniture or anything like that, you go Overstock. You could buy on Overstock.com, and they have chairs and stuff and living room furniture, dining room furniture, and as well as apparel that's super low, right? And also for, like, people who game, you can use on Xbox and Xbox Live. A lot of people ask, like, why should I take the risk of Bitcoin? We're taking a risk every day by putting our money in a bank account, and we have no idea who's in control of our money. And we know that with Bitcoin, since it's a economy that everyone has to do this fair share in order for Bitcoin to survive, and people know in order to have money, you just have to do your fair share of work. And there's no work at all. All it is monitoring your money and watching your Bitcoins go up over the course of time. So I say Bitcoin is going to go up over the course of time. Since Bitcoin started, like it grew astronomically. to the point there's other virtual currency out there that are trying to mimic Bitcoin. So over the course of time, Bitcoin started off at like 6 cents, right? Bitcoin started off at 6 cents, and it grew to be like what we know it today. It's $14,609.59 currently. Now, this number goes up and down. And people go crazy like, whoa, I can't afford that. $14,000 for a coin that may not exist. You don't put your whole life savings into this coin. It's for you to grow into it gradually. And all it is, like I said, if you had put just $13 in the Bitcoin back when it started, when it was thought of, right now, today, you'll have $15,980 in your bank account. So you see over the course of time, it just grows. As of late, people have been like talking about Bitcoin, and it's really been brought up because from 2014, when it's around $7,000 to today, which is 3 years, it almost tripled in price. The highest quote that I have for it now, it was $19,100. Okay? And it grew to that point. Now, like any economy, it goes up and down. Right now it's at $14,000. Imagine if you would have put your money in a few months ago and you just had, let's just say, $500. All of a sudden, just a few months later, you have $1,500 in just pure profit. That's a big difference. When have your bank ever gave you $1,500 in pure profit in the course of, let's say, 2-3 months? Never. That's one of the reasons why I got into Bitcoin, just to know that the growth potential. I'm explaining to you how it is a revolving door. It's because people are going in and they're buying Bitcoin at astronomical rates right now. And the reason why Bitcoin is able to work is because Bitcoin is, like I said before, is a community. And in the community, you have these groups of people or a person that tries to figure out what transaction comes next in the world of Bitcoin. And they get rewarded for it. It's about 12.5 Bitcoin given out every 10 minutes. So 12.5 multiplied by 14,000, that's a whole lot of money. And that's happening every 10 minutes. And in a second, I'm going to explain to you how you can mine for Bitcoin, because Bitcoin needs people to mine for it just as much as it needs people to buy into it. All right.
So everybody makes money. Is everybody making money there? Miners and investors?
Yeah, miners and investors need each other, right, in order to make money, because the investors can't make money if the miners don't figure out these math problems in time. And the math problem is just really, to put it in layman's terms, it just figures out what's the next transaction in the Bitcoin world. So, like right now, if you log into Bitcoin, you can see whatever transaction was made throughout the history of Bitcoin. There's no secrets in Bitcoin. Like, there's no bankers telling you that they invested X amount of dollars into the building a community when they really didn't. You see every transaction. The thing is, every transaction is anonymous. So therefore, no one knows it's you. They just see your code made up by numbers and letters, and they know you did that transaction. So no one can lie on Bitcoin. No one can forge a Bitcoin. Bitcoin is unhackable. Now, a lot of people say you can hack Bitcoin. You can't hack Bitcoin. You can hack the wallets you put your Bitcoins in. I'm going to get into that in a second. About the wallets, because a lot of people don't know what the wallets are, and you're going to be seeing them more and more. You're going to, when you start hearing coworkers or people in your neighborhood start talking about Bitcoin more and more. So, but I just want to let you guys know that the dangers of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is thriving right now, and I predict it's going to go to six figures. I can be wrong. Over the course of this history, me watching it grow over the last couple of years, I used to tell some employees that I had to invest in Bitcoin back in 2013 when it was at $63 of Bitcoin. I don't even know if they listened or not. Hopefully they did, because they'll be sitting on a boatload of money. Hopefully they know how to take their Bitcoins out the system. All right. So the dangers of Bitcoins is practically the wallets can be hacked, number one, right? But let me just talk about
what
Bitcoin
is a wallet
right now.
Okay.
So a wallet is where you keep your Bitcoins at, right? You're just storing your Bitcoins in your wallet. It's just like you have your credit card in your wallet today. And whenever you want to use it, that's why the phone technology came out. Everything happens for a reason. So when you want to use your Bitcoin, sooner or later you're just going to have to scan it with your phone. It's going to start taking that as payment. Now, when I say that, and people don't understand it, like, what's the government going to do about it? But it has no real government control, because it's its own ecosystem, and it stands on its own in its own currency, right? Which is a heck of a lot of money right now. So a wallet, is few different wallets out there. Like, if you go on the App Store right now, you download a Bitcoin wallet, you'll see a few of them, and I'll tell you which one I use in a second. So I use Coinbase, and I like Coinbase because it gives you access to other digital currency as well. And your wallet is supposed to be cyber protected. It's supposed to be a security firm cyber protecting your wallet so hackers don't get in. And they use really good software. And it's been companies that's been hacked before. That's part of the danger. So I always tell people, never keep all their Bitcoins in just one wallet. Venture out into different apps and put your Bitcoins in that, just in case anything happens. Never put all your eggs in one basket. So
question. Question.
Yes.
So if somebody hacks your wallet, can you find them, trace them, or anything like that?
No, it'll be gone. You know, it's kind of like asking somebody, if they stole your identity, what happens if they withdraw a whole bunch of money? You may not be accountable for it, but all that money is gone.
Okay, so somebody stole $10,000 to Bitcoins, right? Do I get that money back? Is it insured? What's going on with that?
Well, the Bitcoin is somewhere, and that's why the miners come into place to figure out where those Bitcoins went. The faster they figure out where those Bitcoins went, the more secure the system is. So it was really up to them.
Right.
And
but
like
what if I lost some money?
Yeah.
If I lose $10,000, and it's a fact, somebody stole it, somebody hacked it, whatever, you know, do I get that replaced? Is it insured?
No, there's no FDIC insurance on it. Like, it's not insured up to $15,000. This is only ecosystem. And up to date, there's only been one firm that's been hacked. And as you know, today, anything can be hacked. You've seen one of the major, what is it called, credit report companies be hacked, and everyone's information is out there. So no one can control hackers. Yeah, no one can control hackers. Anything can be hacked. Like, just like when they wanted to hack the iPhone in San Bernardino case, Apple said they weren't going to do it, and the FBI just found somebody to hack the phones. You know, anything can be hacked. So let me get back into mining real fast. Like I told you before, mining every 12.5, you get every 10 minutes is 12.5 Bitcoin. And mining is literally a piece of hardware you can get off of, like, Amazon or eBay, and you set it up, and it uses a whole bunch of electricity, but you set it up to mine for Bitcoin. It's like self-reliant, so it's not that difficult to hook up, right?
Right.
That's what the mining community is. You have these people burning a whole bunch of energy trying to figure out the equation to a math problem. It's kind of like if you have a lock and you have to guess the combination, you're going to do it over and over and over again. Now you have these little computers that's doing all the guessing for you. Some people can even mine with their phones. They have to keep it on a charger, and it times out every 3 minutes because the phone would get so hot. You know, so sooner or later, a lot of people are going to be making their phone miners. But it cools down, like I said, every 3 minutes, and that's inefficient. So the hardware you just plug in is literally like having a printing press in your house. I told somebody that, and they go, is that illegal? No, because it's its own currency. It needs you. It's a system that needs the miners to figure out the next code in order for the ecosystem or the Bitcoin system to work. It just needs the miners. So people are mining at home. Sooner or later, you're probably going to see a lot of blackouts in your neighborhood as people catch on. And this is not going to be anytime soon, because the funny thing about it, people wait on stuff until it gets too big. Like back in, I guess, what, 2005, I heard a ton of people saying they could invest in Amazon, but how many people actually invested in Amazon? So like I said, this is probably like 10 years down the road, but you're going to have people that's using a whole bunch of electricity. And in order for you to get one Bitcoin mining, it may even take you 3 years, 2 to 3 years, just to get one Bitcoin mining. So who's to say, like, you have to set up this machine that burns a lot of energy for 2 to 3 years before you get Bitcoin? But it's an easier solution. So the easier way to get Bitcoin and the most effective, smartest way right now, unless you have a whole bunch of miners, but that's going to require a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of energy, you join something called a mining pool. So you join a group of people that's doing what you're doing. So how does everyone get paid out? You get paid out for as much work as you do. Say if, Mr. Steve, you had 10 miners at your house, right? And we're in the same pool. And I just had one miner at my house. You're going to get 10 times the amount of profit that I got because you contribute more to solving the problem than I did, right? But some people could get lucky. You could plug in your miner the first week. You could be the first one to get the code because the code is completely random. Anyone could get it. It's kind of like you running a lottery number, or you asking the lottery machine to run as many numbers as it can, as many combinations as it can, in order for you to find a winning lottery ticket. But the you get 12.5 Bitcoins. It's 12.5 Bitcoins given out every 10 minutes. People in the world, 12 and a half people in the world that have one Bitcoin right now is worth about $15,000. Just because their miner figured out the equation, or they split it among a group of miners. And all that is people guessing at that problem. And the whole world, or everyone that's mining, gives a fair shot, because it's completely random, to get that number in order to get a Bitcoin. That's pretty cool. And it's for doing nothing. You can plug it up and go to work, and you come home and you hit a Bitcoin, or you're mining community and you got two Bitcoins magically. It happens. That's what people are doing right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to
Can I ask a question?
I'm going to get into Excuse me?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, so we got two things you talked about. Purchasing a Bitcoin and mining for a Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
Now, so you purchase a Bitcoin with all the currency of whatever country you have currency from, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so right now Bitcoin costs how much? One.
Currently it changes. It's like a roller coaster. Like once you download like an account with Bitcoin, you're going to be watching your money, and you're going to learn. I'm going to teach you how to grow your money just by transferring it to the different virtual money, like moving your currency to different wallets that you have, a different currency. But as it stands right now, Bitcoin is worth $14,400.70 over the past.
So I need 1400 or 14,000?
14,000.
Okay, so how do you buy a Bitcoin? How is that possible?
Possible. You can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin, right? You don't have to buy, like, people when they hear 14,000, they automatically get turned off. And they get turned off because that's an astronomical number. Like, if somebody told me I had to pay $14,000 for Bitcoin, I'll look at them like they're crazy, because the everyday person doesn't have $14,000 to invest in Bitcoin. So, like, give me a scenario of where you lost money, like the most money you ever lost in a single setting.
In a single setting?
Yeah.
I'm losing money all the time. I don't know. Depends on how you're looking at it.
Huh?
Depends on how you look at it. Let's go with a small amount of money, $300.
So $300. So you ask, what can you get for $300 for one Bitcoin? And it's pretty simple. You put it in the system, and that $300, wherever the Bitcoin is, that's the price you pay for it. That's the fraction that you pay for. So let's say you put $300 in, right? And let's say Bitcoin goes up 50%. Your money, right then and there, it goes to $600. You just doubled your money. And that can happen within a day, like it's been happening crazy. That's why everyone is jumping on the Bitcoin train.
Right?
So just figure that. Like, when have your bank ever doubled your money? That's a question.
Never.
Never, right? Like, they just take your money, they give you fees, you try to borrow money from them, they give you a crazy interest rate. It's just crazy.
Right.
So that's why, like, it's been going up, like, I think over the past month, I've seen it go up and go down. Over this past month, it's gone up, I want to say, over 100% in the past month. 101% in the past month. It increased by $7,300. So if you grew your money by 100%, that $300 is going to become that's going to be your $600 that you now have. You're doubling.
You say it goes up and you say it goes up and down, right?
Yeah, just like the
stock market. So if it increases 50%, it goes up 50%. But hypothetically, if it goes decreases 50%. Is my $300 now 150?
It shouldn't decrease that rapidly. I've never seen it.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just theoretically. I'm just using this theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically. It's right. Is that right?
Yeah. Theoretically, you would have $150. But that's how you. That's why you transfer it into a different currency, because one currency may be hot and one currency may be cold, and it's. Three main virtual currencies is going to be a ton coming out, but I would just stick with the top three, right? Bitcoin, obviously, to own one Bitcoin, not a lot of people have $14,650. There's another virtual money called Ethereum, and that's right now is at $471. And there's another one called Litecoin. That right now is $152. And yesterday, it was at $92. So if you had like 10 Ethereum coins, you flip those 10 coins, 15% in the past day. So that goes to say, if I see Bitcoin, if I see it going down, right? Right now, Bitcoin is at negative 9.2%, right? I usually buy when it's down because it's destined to go back up because the miners are going to figure out more codes and people are going to invest more money as soon as the miners figure out what transaction comes next. So you see how the ecosystem works? It just keeps flowing. It's going to go down because there's not enough miners, right? When it goes down, people are going to start buying it and it's going to shoot back up. Now, any given time, let's say a Bitcoin shot up to $100,000, right? You could pull that money out. You're out of the Bitcoin world. You got $100,000 in USD. You don't have $100,000 in Bitcoin money anymore, right? But what I do, you can use it as a savings account because the interest is so much. Like, it's kind of like you having a checking account, a high yield saving account, and a regular saving account. Like, you're going to put your money, most of your money, in a high yield saving account because you know you're going to get the most interest off of that, right?
Right.
So that's supposed to say once you see one of the virtual currency like Litecoin, Ethereum go up, transfer your money out of Bitcoin and put it in Litecoin and watch it go up. If Litecoin goes up 15, 20, 30, or 100%, your money goes up. You just ride the wave, right? And you wait for Bitcoin to stop falling, then you start purchasing Bitcoins back because you know it's destined to go up. So the game is you get it you get it for a super low price, the lowest price you can find, or any price you start off with. Keep track of the price you pay for it. And once it shoots up, you take your money out as soon as you know this is about to go back down, and you put it in another currency. Like, you can literally see no three currencies have I seen so far consistently over a week's time have just all gone up in the same time. They all go up and down, but they shoot up. And they balance out. Then they shoot up again, and it balances out. So Ethereum, over the course of time, Ethereum started off at 46 cents, and now it's $475 per Ethereum. They're just a different currency. So
okay.
it's really cool, man. Sure.
One more question. I have $10,000 I'm going to spend in Bitcoin coin, right? Where does that $1,000 go?
It's different ways to purchase that Bitcoin. And like I said, right
no,
now.
No, not how to purchase it. Where does that money go?
Oh, that money is digital. That money is you're paying for the ecosystem to go up.
Well, I understand that. But my $10,000, right? Where's it going at? Where is it going at, though?
It's going to like a bank account. These apps are bank accounts. Like, for example, the Coinbase is like is literally like having a Wells Fargo account. Like, you put money in just like you would at any bank. And when you need it, you take money out just like you would at any bank. So
right.
It goes into the bank system. So you can always store it.
So it's a digital transaction, you're saying, right?
Yeah. So just say
so if I had cash, if I had $10,000 in a box, I'd have to somehow get that money into a bank in order to transfer it to Bitcoin?
Yes, you could either with $10,000, you have to use your bank account in each transaction, like to put money in. It takes about 4 to 5 days. Most people use their card because it's instant. It gets into it goes into your wallet bank account. Not all wallets allow you to buy bitcoins, but like I said before, you never want to keep all your money on one wallet. Now, like just getting a little bit back into the dangers of Bitcoin, another thing you have to look out for is keeping your Bluetooth on your phone. Because if you have all your money on your phone in the wallet, someone can easily hack your phone if your Bluetooth is on and take money out your wallet. So that's why it's highly advised to store them on your laptop. You need to store them on your laptop because it's less accessible to the everyday, this century, the new technology criminals. Because the new crime is hacking, you know? So that goes to say, like, once you get a lot of money in Bitcoin, you don't want to keep it on your phone in your wallet. You want to put it in, let's say, a vault. You know, the most secure place that you can find. You know, when you ever need access to it, you could shut off all your connection to the internet so it can't be hacked and just keep it on there. And you know that money's on there. And once you need to transfer money back on, you just, you know, hook it back up to the system, make sure it's secure, and put more money into that wallet. That's if you have, like, if you're Bitcoin millionaires. So the guys that started that helped Mark Zuckerberg start Facebook. They're the first twins. You know, if you've seen the Facebook movies, the twins that kind of steer them in the direction or gave them an idea or whatever the case may be. They just didn't act on it. He did. They're the first Bitcoin billionaires. So that's pretty cool. You know, just to know that they trust in it so much that they you know, purchased over $1 billion in Bitcoin. And that's putting your money where your mouth is. Yeah, $1 billion. They're the first Bitcoin billionaires, you know? The only thing is, like, if you had got in when it was low at $63, think of how much money you'd be sitting on top of now. And it's just waiting. It just grows over time. Literally, you don't even have to do all that complicated stuff I just said and transfer into your wallet. If you just put as much money as you could spare, you said you lost $300 in time. If you put $300 into a Bitcoin wallet, 10 years from now, you're going to look at it, and it's going to probably be 100 times that amount. That's how much it grows. it just grows. And it's compounding. Okay. It just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. Imagine if you put more money in it. If you put $1,000 in Bitcoin and wait 10 years, you're for sure to be a virtual currency billionaire. I mean, excuse me, not billionaire, millionaire. That's too much money. But
right.
we're going to, you know, sooner or later, you know how people have their competition, who's the richest man in the world? It's going to be who is the first Bitcoin trillionaire. That's how much I think is going to just grow. So we're going to, it's going to be the first world's trillionaire, and it's going to be a legit currency 10 years from now. That's just my vision. And I've been telling people this the whole time. Like, I'm in, like, a group text with my friends, and my friend brother texts me, like, hey, what y'all know about Bitcoin? And my friend, he replied, because we were in the same group chat, yo, we've been talking about that back in the day. I've been telling my friends about it ever since 2013 and how it could go up and how I believe in it. And, like, it's just a different form of the currency is going to go up. I think today they're actually realizing what I said. I had another conversation with my good friend Roy down in Florida, and he was like, yeah, I remember you've been talking about it. And I said, man, we missed the opportunity because we should have grabbed him up. But the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. The next best time is today. You know, don't sleep on it. Like, you gain the knowledge, act on it. Like, think about it. Like, this weekend, how much did you spend on groceries and stuff that you didn't need because you may have been snowed in if you're in the northeast region of the country, right? Just think about that, right? You bought a whole bunch of stuff. I know I bought a whole bunch of stuff I didn't need. My fiance will probably yell at me later. But all that money I spent today, I could have put into a Bitcoin wallet. That money, the extra money, I could have put into a Bitcoin wallet and let it grow and then spend the interest off of it. Like the other day, just in the Bitcoin wallet, I put $300 in it, and it grew to $570 right now. And that's just in my Bitcoin wallet, not my actual hard drive wallet, which, like I said, you need to have just because you need to keep your money safe. It's kind of like putting your money in the vault.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm just curious. How would a person on public assistance enter this system? Person living below the poverty level, you know.
What do you mean? Like a public assistance means?
Like I'm on welfare. I'm on welfare. So how do I invest in Bitcoin enough to, you know, take me out of, you know, I don't have to go stand in that line no more.
Yeah, I mean, it may be harder than others, but it's going to be easier than getting out of it like what they're doing now. And what they can do is just, you know, set up a bank account and, like, you know, every so often put $10 in the Litecoin and put $10 in the Bitcoin or whatever the case may be. Like, they want to put their money in. And it's other currency right now that's like 10 cents, so they can put $10, and it's going to more than likely grow over time. And I guess next time I call in or next show we do together, I'll let you know the other currencies that are super low. And they may have to wait for a little bit, but even if it grows, like these wallets been growing, like if it grows 1,000%, they just multiply all that, the $10 a month that they put in for a year, you know, they're just multiplying their money and they're riding the wave. You know, just think about it, like, let's just say a year, right? And I'm going to tell you what these grew over a year. So Litecoin, and that's the other form of currency of Bitcoin, right? In just a year, and we're talking about last December, it was at $3.62. Now think about them every month for a year, put it in $10, just $10, right? So they have 12. They have $1,200. They have $1,200 in Bitcoin. So like I said, it started off at $3.62, and it went up to $129 80. That's the current rate for it right now, as it sits right now. Excuse me, it just went up. Hold on. It went up to $151.97. So it jumps up from time to time, all the time. But like I say, so to say if they invested $1,200, and do you think that's doable? Like someone on welfare or public assistance can afford that $10 a month? Will it hurt them?
$1,200 a month?
I mean, for $10 a month. Excuse me,
$110. I don't know. It depends.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm saying
$1,200. Go ahead.
It depends, you know, because it's not really, they don't really get a lot of money from welfare to live on. So can they do it? I don't know. I don't know if a person can squeak that out or not. But they're saying that they could. You're saying that they would earn how much?
Okay. So I got confused with the numbers. I should have said that $10 a month for 12 months is $120. And we're just going over what Litecoin grew in a year. Right, so they have the
$10 a month equals $120
in a year. That's
right.
How much
10 times 12. Yeah, that's your money, though. That's cash money.
Yeah. So they put into the Litecoin round. Let's say they put it in last December. They saved their money up for a year, $10 a year. They put it in for last December. Litecoin grew 4,000% in a year. So what's that? Multiplied by. So that $1,200 would have been, I don't know if I'm correct on the math, $480,000.
Yeah, that's close. That's a
sound.
Let me do
the math again. Let me do the math again, your brother.
4 times 2 is 8, and 4 times 1 is 4. That's right. And you
Yeah, absolutely right. I can't believe the numbers. It was too big to believe at first, you know. But $480,000 grew by 4,000%. Your money grew by 4.
Okay.
So now I'm asking you, now do you think if you're on welfare or some type of public assistant, you can actually get $500,000 in virtual currency that you can cash out into USD? But I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so I invested in Bitcoin, and I've earned $480,000. Now, you tell me that that's untraceable to the government?
Yeah, no government control. Countries like Japan, they're starting to regulate it because they're like, think about it. If the government doesn't control the money, you know, and we don't borrow money off of and you know what the crazy thing is? People go, what is Bitcoin? Like, what is Bitcoin backed by? What is your money backed by right now? Right? What is your money backed by right now? Do you know? I don't know.
No, it's not backed by gold.
It used to be.
Money.
Yeah, but
gold backing.
Yeah, but what is your money backed by now? What can you say your money is backed by right now? The dollar that you... I need people to reach, if they got like a coin or penny anywhere or a dollar, to look at that and tell me what that money is backed by. What makes that valid? You got to think outside the box. There's nothing that makes that dollar that you have. And people go, oh, Bitcoin is fake money. People are going to be Bitcoin millionaires. There's not going to be anything. But what is their money backed by? And you're watching another currency grow so much. It's kind of like when the United States started. Its currency wasn't great. You know, our currency, we wasn't the richest country in the world. The way we became the richest country in the world and the way that our dollar grew throughout the world is because we supplied the world with arms during war, you know?
Right.
So that's how our money grew. Now, you have the chance. If you had a chance to invest in the United States dollar before World War One, would you? Just knowing how much it grew over time.
I would like to.
Yeah, if you had euros and you know the dollar is going to be more powerful than the euros, wouldn't you change your euros for dollars at that point? That's what Bitcoin is. It's just the next currency. You know, currency is made up all the time. Like the United States, they made their currency. And right now, the United States doesn't really own their currency. You know, that's a whole different story, and you know, a whole different topic. But like I said, like I'm just going to tell people if they want to get into Bitcoin right now, I advise them to download Coinbase. The best one right now is blockchain. I'm not that familiar with blockchain. As soon as I familiarize myself with it, I'll be downloading the app called blockchain because it's supposed to be the best on the market. Now, keep in mind, these apps make their money. So I know, like, transferring between wallets sometimes, depending on how much you take out, like, I think the largest transaction fee that I ever had to pay, and this is not the Bitcoin. This is the actual app that you're using to exchange Bitcoin. So I think the largest transaction was $11. But before I take out money, I make sure it grows past any type of penalties or fees I have to pay. Like, literally, I'm watching money just grow, and I can take it out anytime. You know, you can use it sooner or later. You're going to be using it at every grocery store. You know, people go, oh no, the U.S. would never have that. This world is crazy. Like, you have people voting for baseball player, putting them in a nominee mayor, a candidate. You know, like
people just. We got a caller, Leroy. We got somebody want to speak with you, so I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello? Wait a minute.
Hello?
Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Hey, Carlton, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's up, brother?
Hey, Carlton, this is Art.
How you doing, Art?
Doing good, man. I'm listening to the show. Wanted to chime in a little bit, give you my thoughts. The Bitcoin, I'm not a Bitcoiner myself. I looked at it. I don't even, I'm a little suspicious of it because it's priced in dollars. And so I don't even feel like it's a real currency because it doesn't have its own current value. Also, I've looked into it and found out the biggest people that's trading in it right now are like arms smugglers, drug dealers, all kind of black market dudes. That's why the price is jumping up so high. I believe it's just a big bubble and it's a big scheme, and it's being promoted and a lot of propaganda around it by some dude that invented it and disappeared and never answered anybody's questions. And we're talking currency or money. That's a little suspicious. I also heard the question about what the U.S. dollar backed by. Right now it's petrol. Through a deal that we have with Iran, that all countries can only buy oil with the U.S. dollar. That's why the dollar has a value. But that's about to collapse because Russia and China are striking their own deals with Iraq to be able to buy petroleum through other currencies. And once that happens, the dollar is going to be suffering some big changes. So with Bitcoin, I think it's just going to be a I'm not sure, man. I think it's a Ponzi scheme. Any new currency that's out of the reach of the normal people, we're talking about something that came out, I think, in 2009 and hasn't survived any real struggles of economic collapse yet. And I'm curious to see what that would look like through economic collapse because it hasn't been around long enough to be tried and true. Right. And, you know, so – you know, whenever it's like walking around saying the average person can now trade in gold when gold is $1,395 an ounce, $1,300 an ounce, the average person can't walk around and start buying up gold to live off of. And it's out of reach of the average person really quick. So that told me the people that's doing a business with it have a lot of money. Now, only those people are the people that's already elite, the drug dealers, the black market traders. Those type of guys are the ones that's pushing these values up and down. Also, when you look at the way currency work, I say to you, I'll buy that car for $10,000. Well, how do you wake up and $10,000 is now worth $30,000? How do I still buy the car? It's unstable in its own growth. Therefore, it leads that it may be unstable in its own collapse. You know, those are the things that I feel about Bitcoin. You, when in time, when invest your money, you have to start dealing with things that's tangible. I know about this. I'm not tech. I'm not a tech phobia type of dude, but I'm a money savvy dude. And where you park this Bitcoin is all in computers, and you park it there. Like, that's where it is, and it's done with is no. There's a blockchain, and it's limited, and it's going to be this and that. That hasn't been seen or proven yet. It's
right.
I wonder if I look up 20 years from now if there even still be a Bitcoin. And that's the real question. The real
right.
question is 10 years from now, will there be a Bitcoin? And how many people are going to actually lose money? That we talk about something that has not been proven. It's not the internet. People can do without Bitcoin. People can trade without Bitcoin. The world will go on without Bitcoin. So that's where my skepticism come in at.
Okay. Leroy, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, it's cool. I didn't catch your name, good brother. What was your name?
I'm Art, Brother Art.
Brother Art, right. You said drug dealers, right? Like they're transferring money, black arm deal. What were they transferring their money with before? Probably U.S. dollar. You know, you see so many movies that the CIA paid so-and-so this amount of money. So it's always going to be a black market. You know, like it's a black market. It was a black market before Bitcoin. It's going to be a black market with Bitcoin. It's going to be a black market after Bitcoin. So as far as people like funneling their money through it, like it's going to happen. I mean, we can't stop it now. And Bitcoin, you're saying a lot of people, I think the everyday person is investing in Bitcoin. It doesn't cost $14,000 to invest in. You can start investing with $100 and see your money grow, or different currencies that have lower. And you're saying, like, you know, the growth within itself, like if you were to buy a car, right now as it sits, I can't speak about the future when everyone is starting using Bitcoin. I'm talking about just getting ahead of the bubble right now. So just say if you had 20,000, what's your favorite car?
BMW,
5 Series, 7 Series?
It don't matter.
Five series. So,
yeah.
All right, you can purchase a 5 series for probably like $35,000. So, Brother Art, if you have $35,000, and I'm just talking about right now, I'm not talking about the growth within itself. So, if you had $35,000, and let's just say, you put it in Litecoin, right? And mind you, you're going to buy the car the next day, right? So in the past day, Litecoin grew 14%. You put your I'm talking about right now. If you put your $35 in it now, $35,000 in it now, and the next day you look up, it grew 14%. Now you have 14% of the money that you were going to blow away on the car that depreciate interest. Now you gain interest on the money you was going to use in the car. Bitcoin is a way to just increase your money because you're investing in it. It's just like any other investment in it. Who's to say that Amazon is going to be around in another 10 years? Because I heard you groping on 10 years. Like, no one knows what's going to happen in the future. I don't know if Bitcoin is going to be around 10 years from now. I don't even know the U.S. dollar is going to be around 10 years from now because you're telling me that Russia...
But there's a difference. The U.S. dollar has been around for hundreds of years already, so it has a track record that we can really go back to. There is a major difference. Also, when I make money now, I have to pay a capital gains tax. There's no way that the government is going to sit back idly, let people make a bunch of money and not figure out who owes the capital gains tax. I buy a property, I flip it, I pay money on a capital gains tax. I bought silver at $9 an ounce. It's at $21 an ounce. I paid capital gains tax on them profits. Bitcoin is being done. People aren't paying taxes. The whole thing seems kind of awkward when you really know the insides and outsides of making money and the rules that come with it. And this thing is outside the rules. So what I'm saying is why it's done in why the black market is so attractive to them, because they can use it to sell massive loads of arms, a lot of wealth, and it's not being sought, it's not being seen, it's not being regulated. So it's very attractive to that type of thing, and those are probably the nice ones. We haven't even gotten to human trafficking and some of the things that the average person walking around on the blue pill that don't act like it's still going on in this world. There was a big article about them still selling slaves just the other day in the paper. So we can't just look at something because it's been propagandized and say, oh, it's this great thing. You got to do a little bit more research than that. You have to be suspicious over some guy that disappeared, that made this thing, and nobody know who he is. That's really weird. You know, I can't believe in nothing that don't have a name or a face to it. That's a big red flag in anybody's book. It's kind of almost like waving a carrot in front of a horse. Look at all this money you can get. Look at all this what you can get, but we don't have no information about it. We don't even know who created it. We don't even know who the guy's name is, and you can even do it and not pay capital gains tax. Oh, really? That's been, the best of us tried that.
Yeah, and like I said, countries like Japan, they're trying to regulate it because it's grown so much. But my thing is, like, I think that you talk about the future, but if you live in the now, it's what's growing right now. Like, what's the most you ever spent on a property, like cash?
$390,000.
So I hope to bump into you a year from now because, like I said, I can't predict the future. And if you put that 300, and I'm writing it in my book, and I'm put brother Art next to it, right? If you put that amount of money, you said 390. If you had put that amount of money in Bitcoin right now, I'm interested. If I see a year from now, where we have grown to, and now you're saying the human trafficking thing is a negative. That's negative altogether. But that's going to happen. It happened before Bitcoin. It's going to happen during Bitcoin. It's going to happen after Bitcoin. There's no way we can stop the drug trade. There's no way we can stop
I'm not talking about stopping it. I'm talking about who's being attracted by this what would be currency. And there are a lot of elite money men that's for it and that's against it. It doesn't have the vote of everyone. It has the vote of many, but I don't know if, I'm very cautious. I don't know if that's propaganda or not. I heard you mention what the U.S. dollar backed by. We cleared that up, but there's a lot going on. Now, you got to remember this. Regardless of what you're saying about the drug trade, we're going to get off of that. Remember that Bitcoin is being priced in U.S. currency. So what happens when the fall of U.S. currency happens? It's going to directly affect the cost of Bitcoin. It's going to be – if the U.S. dollar became worthless, then so will Bitcoin because it's not being wedged up against any other currency except the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar is only backed by oil, which is almost – about to be, which is only months away, if a year at best, being able to be bought with the yen and the Chinese euro. I mean, whatever the money is, I'm sorry, but it's about a year away at best.
Yeah, Brother Art, is a world economy, and if the U.S. dollar falls, a lot of other currencies going to fall too. I just want to clear something up. You can purchase Bitcoin with any currency. Like, actually, when you download the app, it tells you, it asks you.
Got 90 seconds, brother.
All right. It asks you if you're going to put euros, yen, pounds in it. So you could buy it with any currency.
No, that's true. But it's backed. Check it out. It's backed by the U.S. dollar. Even though you can purchase it with any currency, it's backed by the U.S. dollar. It's valued in
foundation is on a U.S. dollar, right? You're saying the foundation
yes.
is on a yes. standing on that. Okay. Okay. We got 60
dollar,
seconds left, y'all. We're going
to
have
US
to wrap it up. So.
The U.S. dollar isn't digital. Bitcoin is its own currency. It's like exchanging yens for euros or euros for U.S. dollars. It's its own currency. It's not relying off the U.S. dollar. But, Brother Art, like, I wish to see you a year from now. Hopefully, I get to know you. Sound like a real positive, cool brother. I know I can learn a lot from you. So let's see a year from now if you invested $390,000 in the Bitcoin today, what it would be for next year. Because I don't know. It may be nothing. It may blow up, or you may be a millionaire.
Hey.
Okay. You want to thank you, brother, for calling in today.
Yes,
sir. Taylor. All right. Appreciate it. See you guys next week. Here on Provocative Thought, peace. peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
That was a very interesting show right there. Black culture, we cannot show itself. Man, did I do this? That's coming up, dog. We're gonna hit this one. Definitely gonna hit this. Oh, let's see. I did not hit that shit. Gonna take some time. That's not true. That's interesting. I want to say that. Who are the Gentiles? Oh, that ain't shit. That's bullshit. No, how about you get the fuck off my screen? Fuck you. Yeah. this Noah Arabia back in the day in the Bible? Kush. So I want to get back into this. This Gentile nation. Let's go there. Now watch these suckers. They try to tell you what it is. Move. Fuck that shit. These motherfuckers here. Nobody want to hear this shit. They said these are the owls. These were the owls of the nation divided. I don't see nothing about a fucking Gentile. I don't see nothing about a damn that's what I want to say. But that guy was saying something else. Now I gotta get the Bible.